So I'm riding on the back of that motorcycle. He's got an AK-47. I'm spinning a basketball, and we're inviting people to come out to the court there where we had a service and saw people come to Christ. His aunt was a local minister, and the pastor there, they began to weep when I told them what happened. And they said they had been praying for this young man for years. Now, I don't know where he's at today. I pray that he's followed up on. I've got to come back to America. But they did tell me, don't put any pictures on social media.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. I'm Byron Tyler. It was back in 1891 when a future Presbyterian minister named James Naismith was assigned to teach a physical education class at a Young Men's Christian Association. That's the YMCA training school up in Springfield, Massachusetts. Now, after brainstorming some new ideas, Naismith developed basketball's original 13 rules, and consequently, the game of basketball began. Now, this new indoor game was played with a soccer ball at that time, peach baskets, and 9 players on each side. The first contest is believed to have been played back on December the 21st, 1891. And by the way, Dr. James Naismith was the son of 2 Scottish immigrants to Canada. We're going to talk about how God is using this orange ball sensation. Randy Shepherd is in the studio, has a unique way of using the B-ball to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Randy Shepherd, good to have you in the studio.
It's great to be back in Memphis. Great to be here, brother.
I did not know the history, and when I discovered its roots had its origin in ministry.
Sure does.
And then here you are using basketball to take the gospel all over the world.
Yeah, and I don't know if you know this or not. This is definitely a God thing. We got presented with the James Naismith Award this past April at our Crossfire ACC All-Star Game. His great-granddaughter came in. They have a foundation, and they had heard about the ministry and was following it. And glory to God, they said that was the purpose that we're doing, is what James Naismith really had in mind, was to use basketball as a game for ministry. So we got 2 nice awards presented by his great-granddaughter at our Crossfire ACC All-Star Game, which was when we played the seniors from North Carolina, Duke, NC State, and Wake Forest. You didn't know that, did you?
I had no idea. I did not. I really didn't
well,
know that.
You're in the spirit, brother.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, this past year in April.
I think it's so exciting how God can use these elements to present the greatest message known to humankind, is his death on the cross, his resurrection, the life he offers us. Radio also has its roots. You know, the magnetic field science, and I'm not a scientist, don't remember the man's name, but he was a strong believer in Christ back in, I don't know, 1700s, 1800s. But his theory of magnetic fields is what we base radio on today. God gave that to him.
Amen.
And just think about how God has been able to use radio shows like we have here and other teaching programs to communicate the gospel. So these are great vehicles, whether it be basketball or radio, Randy. Your fascination with basketball began at an early, early age. You had a dream. You wanted to eventually be a pro player by climbing the ladder from high school to college and then ultimately be a pro basketball player. Where did you grow up? And tell me about your parents.
Grew up in Asheville, North Carolina. And I grew up in a Bible-believing church. Mom and Dad took me to church from my birth. And I came to know Christ as a 9-year-old boy under the preaching of Dr. Billy Klein, who's in heaven now. Went to Christian schools through the 8th grade, Asheville Christian Academy. I was growing in my walk with the Lord. But in the 9th grade, basketball, like so many things today, can take precedence in our life and become number one. It's kind of what happened to me. I went to camps growing up, North Carolina camp, Tennessee camp, Wake Forest camp, Clemson camp, and learn the principles of hard work and dedication. So I began working at the game, and Pistol Pete, who was one of my heroes, who gave his life to Christ 4 years before he died, and we were just talking about Dr. Dobson. I had the chance to play ball with Dr. Dobson one time, and he walked me over to the spot where Pistol Pete had died playing ball with him. So it was kind of neat how all that came together, because I used to do the Pistol Pete Maravich ball handling drills for an hour every night in the kitchen floor. And then I would carry it on, and now I spin it on a toothbrush, a cell phone, a spoon, and that kind of gets the kids' attention. And then I talk about taste and see the Lord is good. Jesus wants to clean your heart up like you clean your teeth, and then put it on a cell phone and go into all the world and preach the gospel. So worked hard, got a scholarship, and played at UNC Asheville, and God used an injury my junior year to get my attention because he loves us so much. And Hebrews 12 says, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. And I had gotten off the path, all the allures of some local popularity and fame in Western North Carolina there. And we tend to, sometimes we put the Lord on the shelf, and God allowed that injury to recommit my life to Christ.
And that's usually kind of a transforming point for a lot of high school students out of high school into college. Basically, do you think it's the fact that they haven't personally possessed their faith or know how to live out their faith because it's all in control of their home and their family, their parents taking them to church, and of course, and they kind of maybe feel pressured in some, to some degree, and then the youth hangout at church becomes kind of a social. You got to be careful and guard. You know, I always told my kids, and not that they're perfect by any means, to guard your heart. You know, it's a constant thing you have to do as a young man, as a young woman. And it's when you move into college and that environment, and my goodness, all of the temptations and the pressures because you're out of your mom and dad's care, and you've got college professors that, for the most part, on secular campuses are not gospel friendly.
That's right. That's what happened to me. A principle I use with young people, 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good morals. And it can look good old guys and good old girls, but good old guys and good old girls don't get to heaven. Saved guys and saved girls get to heaven. And like you just said, the professors on my campus at UNC Asheville, they would invite the preachers in to try to make fun of them, call them fundamentalists, and try to trip them up. You integrate that with what you've learned, and then these so-called professors who are higher education are doing something else. It can be confusion if you're not grounded. And I wasn't grounded like I should have been, but God got a hold of me and got grounded and moved to Memphis in 1988. My pastor in North Carolina said, Randy, I want you to look up a friend of mine when you get over there. He's a pastor of a small country church. I had no idea. Only thing I knew about Memphis was heard of Elvis. But I got here to Memphis, and he was talking about Dr. Adrian Rogers. And so right away, I got plugged into Bellevue and got under Dr. Rogers' wing. And, man, that was a blessing. I never went to seminary, but I was under Dr. Rogers for 4 years. He was on our board for Spirit Express, so that was a blessing.
So you came to Memphis originally to play with Spirit Express basketball team. Now, who was the gentleman who was the coach at that time?
Dennis Cantrell was the president, and Eldon Lawyer was the coach.
Yeah, I came into the gym. You used to use the old Bellevue Midtown to be your workout facility, your training ground, the gymnasium there. And I remember walking in one time, and it was the most amazing thing to watch Eldon Lawler direct you guys and coach you guys. It wasn't your typical yelling, screaming coach like, you know, you might picture. He just had this calm and gentle spirit. Really, the spirit of Christ was so obvious. If somebody made a mistake, you know, he would just quietly say, you know, give me 20 push-ups.
Yep.
Or, you know,
yep.
Tell me about that coaching experience, because you had been under probably some of those really pushing, probably used profanity, you know, to try to motivate you. Talk about the difference in the coaching style.
Yeah, when I came to Spirit Express, it was a great experience because I started a basketball camp prior to that when I got out of college about a year there with Spirit Express, because I wanted to have a camp where profanity wasn't used and you could teach the game of basketball, but more importantly, share biblical principles and God's word and the gospel. So when I got here, I learned so much because I learned, hey, you can play the game without the language, without the screaming, like you said. And Coach Lawyer and Dennis Cantrell, I guess we've had 25 guys that came through those 4 or 5 years when I was here that are all in full-time ministry now. Unfortunately, Big D passed away a few years ago with a brain disease, and Eldon, I think, is still teaching young people basketball here in the Memphis area. But it was a good experience. You know, we played probably 21 games in 25 days. We'd play Alabama on a Monday night, Auburn on a Tuesday, Alabama-Birmingham on a Wednesday, Missouri on a Thursday, Colorado on a Friday, Colorado State on a Saturday, take Sunday off, and then do it all over again. And to get to play and share the gospel at halftime to thousands of people was a little basketball junkie's dream come true. I didn't get to play in the NBA, but that was better than the NBA for me.
So I guess it didn't really hurt if you actually won one of these games.
Yeah, we tried to be competitive. We probably were about 500 against the schools, because if you go in there and get killed, then they say, well, that's how those Christians are, a bunch of wimps. But if you get their attention on the court, they'll listen to the message better. So
yeah, makes you play that much harder.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there's an area of your life, too, that you dealt with some depression and anxiety. I know today, you know, we have all these conveniences of technology, but it really has created a very stressful environment in homes, and people are taking more medications for depression. And sometimes there is a need for that. There might be a chemical imbalance or things. So we don't want to make light of that at all. But talk about that road, that journey for you.
Oh, yeah. When I came back to the Lord my junior year at UNC Asheville, I may not know till heaven what all was involved. Obviously, we know there's spiritual warfare. We know there's chemical imbalances. And then when you're getting your life back together, there's changes that you need to make. Well, I was making those changes. I was growing in the Lord and began to experience some depression, some OCD, obsessive compulsive, some anxiety. And, you know, right away I went to my pastor, and he referred me to Christ-centered counseling. And one of the first things they started me doing was memorizing scripture, because when we do get depressed, we want to reprogram our minds and put God's word in our mind. But I'm thankful for a ministry, Dr. Frank Minnerth and Paul Meyer, who were in Dallas, Texas.
The Minnerth Meyer Clinic.
Yeah.
When I was in college, we used their book.
Yeah. But Dr. Minnerth, I'm not sure if you know, but he's in heaven now. He died about a year ago with a heart attack. And Dr. Meyer's still practicing, but I ended up going to their clinic in Richardson, Texas. I spent 8 weeks there, and this was about 1985, 86. Got there and found that there were pastors there, deacons there, ministers of music there, businessmen, housewives, teenagers that were all experiencing emotional pain, and they were believers. You know, we look in God's word, Elijah called down fire from heaven. Then 3 days later, he was underneath the juniper tree asking God to kill him.
Two, Randy, we look at the book of Psalms. All through Psalms, we see where David dealt with great emotional stress.
He did. And I learned a lot at that clinic. I learned it was a spiritual problem. It could be a medical problem. And it could also be a psychological problem. But it needed to be dealt with from a biblical standpoint, because I went to counselors prior to going to their clinic. And my first question to them was, do you know Christ is your Lord and Savior? Because if they didn't, they were worse off than I was. They just didn't realize it, you know?
Unfortunately, you hear about the suicide rate for some of these counselors because they don't have a biblical foundation, and they counsel these people without really any great resolve, and they wind up committing suicide.
That's exactly right. But I learned so much at the Minnerth Meyer Clinic. Dr. Minnerth stayed a friend over the years, and Dr. Meyer, and Lord has used that testimony, you know, in 66 countries and 45 states to encourage people that are going through emotional pain. You know, when you open up to someone and they say, well, man, you can spin a ball or a toothbrush, a spoon, you know, you've played D1 basketball, and then you share your weaknesses, it really gives you more room to minister to them, because we all have problems, brother, and we all have struggles.
That's so true. And I think we need to let our human side be seen in the light of, you know, the power of the gospel that can transform, that can change, you know, our life. And even help carry us through times, say if we have a chemical deficiency. Mm-hmm. And even in those times, God is faithful and help us. There's doctors, there's medication. And again, we depend on His word and we depend on Him through that healing process. Let me ask you this. What have been some of the biggest challenges to Crossfire Ministry for you?
Well, I tell you, I feel like I'm living a dream, brother. Faith support, you know, when I went into faith support 28 years ago, I wrote my first support letter and sent it out to everybody I knew. But I can encourage folks that are listening. You may be going through a financial situation, or you may be a ministry struggling with finances. God has always met our needs. And I can say that it may not be when we think it was or who it was coming from. But as you know, the Lord provides. Philippians 4:19, my God, our God, shall supply all our needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I went through a tumor situation about 20 years ago. I had a tumor removed from my side. And at that point, it wasn't considered cancerous, but 6 or 7 years ago, I was at Bellevue's Missions Conference, and a lady there was dealing with what's called carcinoid, not carcinoma, but carcinoid. It's very slow growing. And I was having some symptoms that she was having, and she encouraged me, you might want to get that checked out again. I did. Found some spots on my liver, which are very small. Thank God you can live with it. I take a shot once a month, but it changed my diet. It changed a lot of things that I do. I was already working out a lot, but I go to a doctor.
How has that affected your workout routine?
Well, brother, to be honest with you, it really hasn't. I go to a doctor in Denver, Colorado, who's a world-renowned specialist. They They scanned my liver. I was mentioned to you, I got to see Dr. Dobson about a month ago. I was actually in Denver for a doctor's appointment because this guy's world-renowned. It caused a lot of stress, anxiety. You know, when you hear the C word, it's like getting hit by a heavyweight champion. But thank goodness this is very slow growing. Last time I was there, well, I was there recently, but 2 years ago, he said, Randy, you got a better chance of getting eaten by a tiger in Africa than this taking your life, which was encouraging. But he didn't know there's no tigers in Africa, only lions. And I didn't either. So the next time I went back to him, I said, Doc, my percentages went up because that tiger's got to get to Africa. He laughed. But, you know, we all go through trials and tribulations. And do I believe that Jesus heals today? Absolutely. Do I believe he uses doctors and medication? Absolutely. And then sometimes we don't see the healing. But the ultimate healing is heaven. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more tough times. But I'm still going to ask people to pray for me, and I'm sure you would too. If you're going through a crisis, we call upon the Lord, and then the results are in his hands.
That's so true, Randy, and I appreciate you sharing so transparently. Someone listening today, I'm sure, can relate and maybe is going through a similar health issue or something that they're struggling with and just trying to trust the Lord on. I know you travel not only here in the United States, but you travel all over the world, constantly on the move, on the go. What have you learned most as you travel internationally through the Crossfire Ministry? What were some of the adjustments you might have to make as you go to a different country?
Yeah, there's always different culture situations. There's always different lifestyles. But one thing I've learned is that the foreign countries look to America as the place to be. And they look to us as being the wisdom as far as biblical teaching and the gospel. And I shared this last night when I spoke. You know, a lot of times when I speak in a foreign country, sometime during my message, I will apologize because a lot of the junk that we've sent around the world in the way of music, movies, entertainment. That's why I thank God for 640 and Bach Broadcasting and radio stations like you guys that are putting out the right things, the right messages, the right music, because so many of these kids internationally are listening to this music. They have no idea what the lyrics are. And if they could hear the lyrics are totally against the word of God, but they're doing it because they think it's American. And I let them know, hey, we're not all like that. You know, Hollywood doesn't set up my standards. The word of God sets up my standards. So that's one thing I can think of right off. And, you know, people, I love people. And to meet people in all different countries is awesome. And the fact that you meet a believer in Africa or in Brazil, it's like they're your brothers and sisters because we have that common denominator in the Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm sure you had to have had some unusual experiences as you've encountered, you know, different cultures and people groups and countries. What have been something that maybe stands out to you in some of those challenges?
One situation was this summer. I was ministering at the Olympics, and I've been to 5 Olympics over the years. And so I'll go with a team out of Texas called Lay Witnesses for Christ. And a lot of athletes come together, musicians, and we go in. Dr. Sam Ming sets up churches around the hosting city, Rio. We'll do what's called Stars for Christ meetings at night, share the gospel music, draw people off the street. We'll do street ministry. We ministered from the Christ Redeemer statue to Copacabana Beach, and we got to go to the City of God. And if you've heard about that, there's a book and a movie. It's a favela. What is a favela? It's a poor neighborhood. And you can Google it, and you see the mountainside there in Rio, just millions of people with these little shanties and these little huts. So we would do ministry in the daytime, go in there and do basketball stuff, music, draw the people out and preach the gospel. Well, we were going to this one favela, and as you're going in, we're going in on an old bus. These drug lords run these favelas. The police don't even go in there. So these drug lords are on telephone. So we get to our spot, and the Lord's given me a boldness, and the basketball tends to break down the barriers. So they had already warned me. They said, Randy, stay at the court. Don't go out in the neighborhood. It's dangerous. You got to stay with everybody else. I said, okay, yes, sir, I will. So I got off the bus, and this drug lord walks up. How do I know he's a drug lord? Well, he's got an AK-47 around his neck, and he's got a semi-automatic pistol in his belt. He's probably 30 years old, got on a tank top. So he checks us out, and they look us over. But we found out they really want us in there because they don't want their little brothers and sisters to end up like they are. And they feel trapped in the world that they're in. So we got off the bus. He checked us out. So another guy that handles the basketball named Bruce Crivier out of North Dakota, we started spinning the ball for him and doing tricks. And that really softened him up. And he listened. And we shared the gospel with him through a translator. Well, he didn't respond at that time. But he said, y'all are good. And he said, I'm going to invite some people, some kids to come over. So the lady, a minister there, grabbed me and said, Randy, you need to go into some of the homes because some of the people aren't going to be able to come, and we want you to share the gospel with them. I said, well, you got to talk to my leader over there first and make sure I can, because they told me not to go. Well, they okayed it. So I started going house to house, sharing the gospel and giving an invitation right there in the homes, and people were coming to the Lord. And he came back up on a motorcycle with his AK-47 with a semi-automatic pistol. And I can't boast in anything but Christ, but I took him by the hand. And boldly I said to him, brother, I said, you're a warrior, but you're a warrior for the wrong team. You need to be a warrior for Jesus's team. And I took him through the gospel again with a translator. The translator told me later that day, I couldn't believe I was translating what you were saying to him because my parents told me, don't ever go in there. So anyway, but he ended up praying to receive Christ right there. And God gave me an idea. I said, I'm going to ask him if I can get on the back of that motorcycle. He takes me through the favela, the village, and we invite more people to come to our meeting. Well, praise the Lord, he did. So I'm riding on the back of that motorcycle. He's got an AK-47. I'm spinning a basketball, and we're inviting people to come out to the court there where we had a service and saw people come to Christ. His aunt was a local minister, and the pastor there, they began to weep when I told them what happened. And they said they had been praying for this young man for years. Now, I don't know where he's at today. I pray that he's followed up on. I've got to come back to America. But they did tell me, don't put any pictures on social media because the other drug lords would kill him and possibly kill the pastor. So that's probably one of the most dramatic situations recently that I had.
That definitely sounds dramatic conversion and story there, obviously. I know you've spent a lot of time in prayer. You spent a lot of time preparing for whether it be a crusade, a meeting, or places you go and you share. But as we talk about weakness, okay, what do you consider to be maybe one of your weakest moments in your presentation, but resulted in one of the more powerful ways that God demonstrated his movement in someone's heart or the people's heart?
Yes, well, I'll be honest, and I think many ministers and pastors, people in ministry, if they would be honest, you know, if you have the gift of evangelism, which I probably do, but Dr. Adrian Rogers said one time, you may have the gift of evangelism, and he probably did as well, but that doesn't mean to other Christians that you don't evangelize. We're still all called to evangelize. So you can get caught up sharing the gospel and not pray as much as you need to pray. And that's probably one of the things that folks out there, if they're looking for things to pray about, is that I would spend more time in prayer. And with a gift of evangelism, I mean, I want to evangelize from the restaurant to the grocery store to the gas station to the basketball court to the school to the church, wherever God calls. So prayer, and it's amazing how God blesses even in spite of us. And I do try to pray, but every day, we need to take up our cross daily and follow Christ. And I think one of the main struggles, I mean, the average Christian spends 5 minutes a week in prayer. And I think if pastors are really honest, we all need to hear from the Lord more instead of maybe using our gifts and our talents and relying on them.
What a good word there, Randy. You mentioned about getting inside some of these big name college campuses to be able to share the gospel. Are you invited? I mean, how do you have to go knock on the door and say, let me in? Or, I mean, well, how do you get to do that?
The Lord has given me a good network. My high school teammate was a guy named Buzz Peterson. He was Michael Jordan's roommate at North Carolina. So I got to know some of those guys over the years. So sometimes those relationships open up doors for you to get in. For instance, I was in L.A. about 4 months ago speaking, and Steve Alford is a believer, UCLA's coach, but Buzz has a close relationship with him, and he called him and said, hey, my buddy has a basketball ministry. Can he come speak? Got to speak to that team, and I won't name any names, but one of their top players made a profession of faith that day, and the coach followed me outside and said, hey, we've been praying for that guy for a long time, and did you see that he lifted his hand when you gave the gospel? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, do you know who that is? And I didn't, because he's an incoming freshman, but he ended up being the top high school player in the nation last year. So contacts of one coach, if he's a Christian, it opens the door for you with other coaches. Some places you get the door slammed in your face. I mean, today, you know, we can't play on the state campuses and share the gospel because of where we are in our nation today. Maybe that's turning around some, but we still go to a lot of Christian schools, a lot of smaller schools, but it really depends on the coach. And then some of the schools, if the principal is a believer, you can go further with the message than if he wasn't a believer.
Right,
so you just kind of have to pick your places and be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove, you know?
You know, I had an opportunity, and first name slips my thought here, but David Barton, who is with Wall Builders, his son helps do some of the training camps for Coach K at Duke in the summertime. He's also a pastor.
Awesome. So, I'm glad to hear that because I've shared with Coach K, and his wife is a born-again believer, but I hadn't had a whole lot of results with him. Great coach, but sometimes those that are successful in life are harder to reach, you know, but I'm glad to hear that.
Well, tell you what, our time is slipping on this program, but before we say goodbye, you mentioned that one of the challenges is funding, and so you are funded not by a government grant,
no,
not by the NBA.
No, we're totally dependent on the Lord. Our budget, probably 85% of it comes from individuals, about 15% from churches, and we just trust the Lord, and our website is www.crossfireministry.com. We're on Facebook under Crossfire Ministry, but mostly prayer, and if you know, if God would lead someone to touch someone's heart to get involved and say, hey, I see how God can use athletes to get in places that you normally couldn't get in, then we welcome that support and that prayer. And I'm just thankful for our relationship with you for 25 years, and you're always gracious to get me back in here and give an update to the folks. We were in 10 countries last year, 13 states. We do all we can to follow up on these decisions, but we saw over 10,000 professions of faith. People say, well, Randy, how many of them are real? Well, I pray they were all real, and I do all I can to make them real, but only God knows the heart, and I don't say they got saved. The Bible says some plant, some water, and God gives the increase.
And you have a sidekick. He's a co-laborer with you, Jamie Johnson. How did you guys get connected, and tell me about the relationship? And also, you both have differing gifts and talents. How's God blended you together to do the goals in ministry of Crossfire?
It's awesome ministry marriage, so to speak. We played against each other in middle school, junior high, and high school and college. And Jamie was on fire for the Lord in high school, and I wasn't. So you don't want to get around, if you get around somebody that's on fire and you're not, you're kind of uncomfortable. We played a lot of pickup ball together, but when God got a hold of my life and called me to Spirit Express, Jamie said, man, I'd really like to do something like that. He came here for a year, and then we went back to Asheville and started Crossfire. But Jamie's dad was a pastor for 55, 60 years. And Jamie has a real pastor's heart. We joke sometimes, but he's kind of the apostle of love, and I'm kind of the son of thunder sometimes. So we balance each other out well. He's a great evangelist, but he's a great administrator. He always pushes me to the front. I'm humbled, and he's taught me so much about relationships and communicating, and it's been a blessing to have Jamie Johnson as a ministry partner.
Now, do you guys mostly travel together separately? Or
when we go to foreign countries, we go together. We usually take a basketball team or a team of other missionaries with us. And now, a lot of times, he'll speak somewhere, I'll speak somewhere. Probably between the two of us, we'll speak a couple hundred times a year. We're both still single, still praying for God's choice. Paul said you could get more done single, but I met a gal. You were mentioning your son had met his wife in Nicaragua. I met a gal in Brazil at the Olympics. She lives in Los Angeles now, so we're dating long distance, and she's a prayer warrior, loves the Lord, so we'll see what happens.
All right, Randy, thanks for sharing that update,
yeah,
too. Well, thank you for what you're doing for Christ's kingdom through Crossfire Ministries. As always, appreciate you stopping by.
It's always a blessing to be here at 640, and thank you guys for what you do, Byron.
Hey, give that web address one more time.
CrossfireMinistry.com, and they can find all the information there. If you'd like us to come speak, we're available. Or if you just want to talk about something we've talked about today, depression or a struggle, hey, I'm here for you. Give us a call.
Thanks, Randy. Well, friends, that's all the time we have on this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. Thanks for stopping by. I'm Byron Tyler. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.